Our gospel reading this morning comes from John's gospel from the 5th chapter. Listen for God's word. Now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has 5 porticos. And in these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 38 years. The lifetime, almost literally, with differences in life expectancy, the man in this story has been sitting sick not just most of his life, but most of any life. 38 years of birthdays, of Passovers, of festivals, of harvests. 38 years he has been sick. We don't know exactly what his illness is, but clearly it leaves him mobility impaired. He can't move easily. And in the age of COVID, I think we can perhaps access a bit of empathy for what it feels like to be sick and stuck and confined and unable to get around, unable to leave your room or leave your house for like a couple of weeks. 38 years. And in all of this time, or at least for a big chunk of this time, he has been sitting by this pool called Bethesda. By all accounts, it is the place to go in Jerusalem. Here he is surrounded also by others who are also sick, blind, paralyzed. The name itself, Bethesda, means house of mercy, because there's something special about this pool. Sometimes the water moves. Now, in our reading this morning, the gospel writer is not particularly curious about why the water moves. This is not a writer compelled by geology or fluid mechanics. Perhaps there's an ancient spring that feeds the pool, or some sulfur running up through the crust. We can only speculate, as can the first readers of this text. In fact, some early variants of the text conclude that the water is moving because every once in a while an angel comes down to stir it up. But what everyone agrees about is that somehow this water makes you better. So we can still ask modern questions. Does the water make you feel better because sitting in a jacuzzi helps with your muscles or your pains? Is this just modern spa therapy rendered into biblical Jerusalem? Or is there something truly supernatural at work? Waters touched by an angel that have the real power to cure and heal and bring those dry bones back to life. You might suspect the former. The text might imply the latter. But in some ways, it's a distinction without a difference. Because what's happening in this text is that there's a sick man sitting next to a pool that might make him feel better. And for 38 years, nobody will let him in. "I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up," he says. "And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." What a telling response. Jesus asks him, "Do you wish to be made well?" And the man responds, "I've been here for 38 years wishing to be made well." To be honest, I find Jesus' question a little insulting. "Do I wish to be made well? Let me tell you how much I wish to be made well. I would like to get from this chair to that pool, and I have been trying to do it for a long time, if that counts for anything, but every time the angel comes and stirs up the water, I can't get there." Nobody will carry me. It takes me too long to scoot down to the water's edge. And by the time I get there, everybody else in town has rushed over. There's never room left. Somebody else steps down ahead of me every time. Do I wish to be made well? What are you saying? That if I'd only wished harder, I would have made it into the pool to begin with? What are you saying? That if I'd only worked harder or worked smarter or pulled myself up from my bootstraps, so to speak, I would have found my way into that healing water? They always ask, do you wish to be made well? And nobody ever asks, why won't anybody let me in? Why do they keep walking past me and nobody sees? Why do they keep getting in the pool in front of me, though I have been waiting my turn for 38 years? Why is the system rigged to exclude me and none of you ever seem to notice? And now we have found the scandal in the text. It's not the faith of the sick man on trial here. The real tragedy is that these healing waters have been there the whole time and nobody has ever given him access. Before I came to UPC, I served a small congregation in rural Virginia, a church that worshiped about 40 on a Sunday and 100 on the rolls, if we round it up. It was an old family congregation. Not a lot of folks came and went in that town. Most people knew each other going back generations. And then we got to this day on that church's calendar, the day when we ordain and install elders and deacons. And I would get to that part of the liturgy where we invite previously ordained elders and deacons to come forward for the laying on of hands, and basically the whole congregation comes forward. Basically, half the congregation was on the session at any given time, and the other half was just waiting their turn. And so when you rotated off, you would just go do a couple of laps around the block, and when you came back, it was your turn again. Or so I thought. Because it turned out that actually, when I called for all those ordained folks to come forward, there were a few that never came. They never came up despite having been deeply involved in the ministry of the church for decades. Mostly they were long ago refugees from more conservative churches, and they were all women. Women who had been carrying our congregation for decades, but who had been raised in churches that told them that they couldn't be ordained. And so every time I invited all the ordained folks up for the laying on of hands, here are these women who have given as much to this church as anyone, who never got asked, because they'd never been asked before, and so nobody ever noticed. And it was shocking to me that this church that was always looking under the sofa cushions for all the volunteers it could find, but here they were, and nobody would let them in. Well, we let them in, finally. We just asked. And I imagine our question sounded a bit like Jesus's. Do you wish to be made well? Do you wish to touch this water? You wish to have these hands laid upon you? They were far too kind to give us the honest answer, which of course is, been ready the whole time. We've been here 38 years by this pool, 38 generations in this church. We've been here the whole time. So the question is, are you ready? Are you ready to make room for somebody else at God's table? Are you ready to make room for somebody else in these waters of grace? Are you ready to broaden your understanding of who God calls and how Jesus works and how big and broad is the grace of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready to let somebody else in? Jesus' question would be better asked of the people in the pool than it would the man at the edge. Do you wish to be made well, people of God? Then make room. Of course, in the moments that follow, Jesus bids this man rise and walk, and he does. Jesus brings a healing to this story that the pool itself cannot provide. Jesus brings a healing that the people cannot provide. Jesus overcomes the exclusion and the division and the prejudice that have plagued this pool for nigh on these 38 years. And thanks be to God that he does. Thanks be to God that we don't have final say on who gets called and who gets chosen and who gets included. Nonetheless, shame. He had to wait 38 years. How much more beautiful might it have been if the people of God had been healed a little sooner? But the question is, again, for us, do we wish to be made well? Do we wish to be made whole? Do we wish to be made holy? Then we have to do the work of noticing of who has been left out and who's been excluded and who's been set aside. And in just a few moments, once again, we at UPC will also gather our incoming classes of elders and deacons down front and participate in the laying on of hands. It's one of those moments in the church year that Zoom can't quite capture, and I'm so glad that we can reclaim it here this morning, and particularly with the amazing group of leaders you all have elected. And the running joke, of course, is still true, that we invite forward ordained elders and deacons, and then most of the congregation gets out of their pews. But maybe that's exactly the way it should be. Maybe it should be that the power of the Spirit has room for everybody. Maybe it should be that the water has room for everybody. Maybe it should be that this call has room for everybody. Maybe that's exactly the way it should be. The whole church, all of us here in this sanctuary, all of us joining remotely, all of us, everyone here, everyone not here, everyone you see and especially everyone you don't see, all of us gathered around this baptismal water together. You wish to be made well, people of God? Then make room. Thanks be to God. Amen.